From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has issued a warning to big publicly traded companies that applied for and received taxpayer-backed loans through the Paycheck Protection Act. Mnuchin gave them a May 18th deadline to return the funds that were intended for small businesses. But so far, few have done so, even under threat of criminal liability. Mnuchin's demand came after intense scrutiny of whether companies met eligibility requirements or received preferential treatment from big banks. The Treasury Department has been changing requirements on the fly in a program marked by chaos. Congress passed a new bill claiming to fix problems in the original PPP, but critics say it was not enough. Meanwhile, more than 36 million Americans have lost jobs over 2 months, and analysts project that 100,000 brick-and-mortar businesses could shutter in the next 5 years. We turn now to Amanda Ballantyne. She's the executive director of the Main Street Alliance, a national network of 30,000 small business owners. We'd spoken to her in April. Welcome back to the program, Amanda.
Thanks, Sonali. Happy to be here.
So let's first talk about your assessment of the original Paycheck Protection Program, which when we last spoke had just passed and companies were starting to apply for it. Looking at everything that's been reported on it, does this seem to you like a sort of monumental failure when it comes to actually helping small businesses?
Well, I think the unemployment numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we saw numbers this morning saying 36 million workers have filed jobless claims over the past 8 weeks. So I think the goal of using the Paycheck Protection Program to maintain employment hasn't been met. And there are a number of reasons why that I'm happy to talk about. But I think in general, many small business owners are still in deep crisis, having made huge layoffs, and are really needing certainty from our federal government right now in better programs going forward.
How outrageous is it that publicly traded companies, so many of them received, applied for and received, legally actually many of them, received these loans. They applied for because they could. There are reports that they were basically pushed to the front of the line because the banks that were in charge of administering the loans knew that they could get bigger fees from these big companies. These are companies who have, you know, billionaires on their boards. They have access to other loans. Some of them are startup companies that, you know, a year ago raised billions of dollars for their ventures. As a small business owner, if I were a small business owner, I would be utterly outraged.
It is outrageous. I mean, I think that this program was designed and marketed really in an interest of saving small business is a bit of a misnomer. I think the policy actually did what it was initially designed to do. Part of it is that there are significant design flaws in the Paycheck Protection Program. Part of it is also that the way it was administered and rolled out created significant disparities. So when it was first passed, it was stood up within a week. It's an enormous, the first injection of cash was $350 billion. And it was, the rules were developed really on the fly. The final rules weren't issued until the day before the program was to roll out. What ended up happening is that each bank interpreted the rules on its own, and there was not uniformity in how the banks were administering the program, how they were deciding who was eligible for a loan. So you saw banks treating customers differently, not treating people first come first serve. Many banks limited loans to only existing customers or existing customers that had open credit lines at the time. At the same time, you also had a lot of, like, millions of business owners were boxed out from the first few weeks of the program because independent sole proprietor businesses weren't allowed to apply until later. Mm-hmm. So both of those things combined really boxed out most of the business owners of color who would have been able to get these loans, and the very, very small micro businesses that really are the lifeblood of our economy. So there are problems in the rollout, and then there are also significant problems in the design that make the loan very difficult for business owners to use. So outrageous that big businesses got in line first, definitely. Also, the problem is so problematic that many business owners are really, really struggling with how to use it effectively.
And I want to ask you about that in just a moment, why that is the case. But I imagine that the bigger the company, the more resources a company had, the faster it was able to apply for the loans, you know, with lawyers that know how to fill out these sorts of contracts, and the mom and pop shops who are often understaffed or may not, you know, have a full-time employee doing all their legal loan applications for them, just weren't able to keep up with this, you know, demand. It's almost like, you know, trying to race against somebody, you know, while you're walking, racing against somebody who has a race car. You'll never win.
In the beginning, you know, it's so problematic that small business owners were at the end of the line for these funds. And often it comes down to your relationship with your bank and the size of your banking relationship with your bank. That's how this program rolled out. So very small businesses were at the back of the line. Many businesses owned by people of color weren't able to get in line in the first round of funding for this program. And that timing is so important because so many independent small business owners are really on thin margins and don't have the cushion that you describe those bigger businesses having, or the access to other lines of cheap capital that they could use to sort of weather a short-term crisis. So that problem will create ongoing inequities in terms of businesses' ability to respond to this crisis and maintain their solvency going forward.
What were the issues with how the funds could be used that you said made it very difficult to just put them to, you know, where they were needed?
Well, by the time the funding rolled out to many businesses, huge layoffs had already been made. And I think in the service sector, businesses in general were put in a position of deciding, do I recall my workers to idle because I'm not allowed to have my business open right now, it's closed for public policy reasons, or we just don't have customers right now because a month ago, many of our cities were just going into their lockdowns. So there was a question for business owners about, do I call my employees off of unemployment just to have them sit idle and maybe make less money than they would on unemployment, and then just lay them off again in 2 months because who knows what the economy is gonna look like. So the first part of it was a timing issue in this very short period of time when business owners could maintain their full payroll. In that time, it sort of came after many, many businesses had already done their first major sets of layoffs. So that created a challenge. The other challenge is that the ratio of how much of the money you spend on payroll versus fixed costs like rent and utilities and other kind of fees that business owners aren't able to, you know, just, they're not fungible, right? They're fixed expenses. Made it very difficult for businesses that were having trouble maintaining their payroll to then get the support they needed through the program to cover their fixed costs. So many business owners are sort of faced with a choice of diminishing payroll, not really understanding the terms of loan forgiveness, and not getting enough support from the program to cover their fixed costs. So they're going deeper into debt. And then finally, the terms of forgiveness have still not been clarified by Treasury. So many business owners are looking at this and they're seeing a program whose rules have been changing consistently, and where they're not actually sure about the timelines of when hiring needs to be done. They're not sure about what actually has to be done for compliance to get the forgiveness. Small business owners do not take out loans to cover payroll. So we're already asking business owners to take a leap to kind of maintain our economy. And they need to trust that this money will be forgiven if in good faith they've tried to maintain their payroll. But what this looks like for many small business owners right now is a very risky program that they're not sure how effective it will be at solving their immediate needs right now.
Do you have among your members any companies that have successfully applied for and received PPP loans and actually managed to keep their employees on payroll and remain open?
So we do now. I would say in the first round, none of our members reported receiving a PPP loan. After the second round of funding, several of our leaders and many of our members did finally receive their PPP loans. And I think it's really mixed and it depends on the sector. I think in higher wage industries where business owners are really reliant on a certain set of skills in their staff, they've been able to or willing to, I think, take the risk on the PPP and maintain their payroll. And it's a temporary stopgap solution for them. I think the next challenge for that set of business owners is going to be that, you know, the 8-week period is about to run out and the forgiveness terms still aren't clear and how that's all going to work is not clear. And the economy still obviously is not back to normal for functioning. So I think for the business owners who have been able to use the program effectively, and there are many, they are still facing some pretty big challenges as the program kind of dies out for them in terms of their ability to use it, because it's it's a time-limited program. There are a lot of business owners who have applied for it and have been advised actually to be very careful about using it or to not use any of the money on anything except payroll. And so I would say in our network, there are business owners who desperately need the money, but have been advised by their accountants that there's so much uncertainty around what the forgiveness terms are that they may be taking too much of a risk by actually using it. And so I think that is a big challenge that a lot of business owners are working to figure out. And then, of course, there are business owners who just haven't received their funding yet. And it's becoming a very, very desperate situation for them.
Right. I imagine as a business owner, if the loan that you took out ends, but that you were expecting to be forgiven by following the rules, if that ends up not being forgiven, you're saddled with a loan that you likely may not be able to pay back and end up in bankruptcy, which might have happened anyway had there not been a loan in the first place. Well, this was a bill, the Paycheck Protection Program was part of a bill that Congress designed. Were they just, do you think that they designed it in order to say they were helping small businesses, but actually have it tilted toward big businesses? Or was it just so poorly designed at the outset? You see lawmakers expressing outrage that Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and Harvard University applied for and got these loans. They're the ones who wrote the bill. Why are they shocked?
It's a good question. I would say that this program was designed at the very beginning of the crisis when there was not a clear understanding of how much this crisis would impact the economy and how long it might last. So to give lawmakers the benefit of the doubt, I do believe that many of them believe that this program would create the kind of subsidy program that we saw in some European countries. They just believed it was designed differently. And I think the problem is that we need our lawmakers to understand how challenging business lending is through the private banking system. I mean, that was the initial flaw in this whole program. It never should have run through private lenders.
It should have just been the government directly administering the loans?
Absolutely. Make it big, make it easy, and prevent the unemployment and keep businesses solvent, right? But instead, they designed this very complicated program that involved just thousands of stakeholder banks, all administering it differently, and the rules just weren't clear. So yes, big businesses got this money. I would argue that the law was designed for big business to get the mm-hmm. money. But I also think that there was just a lack of understanding of how this would actually work and the level of inequity that would be produced by it in terms of small business owners of color, and small business owners in low-income areas being able to access these funds quickly.
And it certainly seems designed for big banks to reap funds and fees rather from administering the loans. Of course, if the government was administering the loans directly, it would have prevented those big banks from reaping the financial benefits and, pushing the big companies to the front of the line. Did the later act that Congress passed, which was intended to improve the parameters of the PPP, make any difference?
So it put more money in the loan program, and it carved out specific amounts of money for smaller banks and community development financial institutions. So I think those were strides to make the money more accessible to underbanked communities. And those would be, business owners who just don't have the volume or scale or relationships with private lending institutions. And you can see in our society, I mean, there are generations of discrimination in lending that fall along racial and gender lines, right? So that was an important step in terms of making this money available to smaller businesses and really the businesses who need it most, which are the low-income businesses and the businesses owned by people of color, very small businesses. The problem is that that's not actually sufficient in terms of the need or the speed with which business owners need these resources. So it was a good step, but it still doesn't do what we need, which is to provide direct subsidy support to very small micro businesses. That is an essential thing. And Senator Harris and Representative Presley have just put out a bill called the Save Our Streets Act that would really provide that lifeline of support to very small businesses who got boxed out in the beginning of the PPP. Also, of course, we need to continue to look at Representative Jayapal's Paycheck Recovery Act. There's a similar act, two similar bills actually in the Senate, the Sanders Warner proposal on paycheck protection, and then also the Senator Hawley proposal on paycheck protection.
Right, and Hawley is a Republican who is, I think, one of the only Republicans to actually propose something similar to what Jayapal has proposed, which is, essentially the government starting to think about paying salaries directly of Americans. Jayapal's act, the Paycheck Guarantee Act. It could pass, but what seems most likely to pass the House, although it's probably going to be shunted by the Senate, is the HEROES Act, which is the sort of consensus establishment Democrats bill unveiled earlier this week, set to be voted on Friday. Is there anything in the HEROES Act that would impact small businesses?
Yes. So there are substantial improvements to the Paycheck Protection Program that would solve a lot of the problems that I just discussed, including extending the 8-week period of timeline to 24 weeks and extending the deadline to use the funds from June 18th, which is the deadline now, until the end of this year. So those would be significant improvements in terms of creating the confidence business owners need to use the money. There are other provisions, including extending the payback period of the loan, lifting that 75-25 ratio of payroll to fixed costs, so business owners have more flexibility to pay their rent and their utilities and remain solvent. And there are a set of other changes to the PPP that are very good and important. There's another program in the HEROES Act called the Employee Retention Tax Credit, which is an important program that could be expanded to provide the level of payroll support that say the Jayapal bill or the Hawley or Sanders bill is suggesting. And this is an interesting approach to using the tax code to provide direct support to small businesses for payroll and also for fixed costs. And so we see that as a very positive approach. It's essentially a different delivery mechanism than just using Treasury to pass subsidies through. But we don't think the program as it stands in the HEROES Act is large enough to really be scaled to the demand. And so what we believe is that program is going to be important and effective. It should be dramatically expanded. And what it would do is let businesses that are able to be open and function get payroll support to be functioning in those limited ways while ensuring that workers are also making their full salary on those jobs. So it would give the kind of support that we think is necessary.
Now, what about the Small Business Administration, which is a federal government agency that pre-pandemic is intended to be a place that small businesses can seek support? Is there any support that businesses have been able to seek through the SBA?
So there are a number of, so first of all, there's the emergency, the EIDL loan, Emergency Injury Disaster Loan, that is, I think, a very good loan program, but it's been slow to roll out. And, initially the loan was supposed to be up to $2 million, and it's been dramatically reduced just because I think the fund is undercapitalized. That program should be expanded, and it contains in it a small grant program so that part of the money that an employer would get for the EIDL loan could be forgiven. And so it certainly should be expanded, and the grant portion of it should also be expanded. The current HEROES Act does provide, I think, $10 billion more for that EIDL grant program, which is important. SBA also runs many, many educational programs around the country, and I think that those programs are going to be increasingly important for small business owners to be able to access to make the types of decisions they're going to have to make in the coming months. If Congress doesn't move a much bigger and more comprehensive aid package for small business in the very short term, we're going to start seeing significant bankruptcy in the sector. And so not only do we think much, much more support needs to be provided, but educational support to make the types of decisions that business owners will have to make is also really important. These programs are complex. And, you know, we're policy people. We work on policy every day. Most small business owners don't. So it's really important that business owners are understanding the types of programs that are available to them and how to use them effectively. That requires both very, very clear guidance from the government on how the programs work and what triggers things like forgiveness. But it also requires deep education in multiple languages available to business owners through government sources and also through sort of private like accounting networks and other types of businesses that help businesses make strategic and long-term decisions.
Finally, Amanda, how have small business owners adapted during this quarantine to try to survive? What are some ways in which, small companies have just attempted to reinvent themselves? I mean, we hear, of restaurants turning into grocery stores. In some areas, there are establishments or states have allowed restaurants to begin dine-in service. Are you seeing creative ways that people are reinventing their businesses in order to survive?
Yeah, and this is one of the things I love most about working with small businesses. Entrepreneurs are innovative, inventive people, and they work very, very hard. So I would say that across our network, we've seen business owners do anything from adapting the way their workplace works so it can be safer. And these are for businesses that are functioning, of course, to actually sort of pivoting, to figuring out really effective hyper-local delivery mechanisms, to other ways and branded ways that consumers can support their work. Starting to develop, from restaurants going to grocery and those types of pivots, they're happening all over the place and good ideas are being developed. It's not a panacea though. I mean, when we're talking about the levels of unemployment we have, the reduced consumer demand, most businesses that are doing these types of pivots know that it's not really going to be a long-term solution to maintaining their business just because of the fixed costs that they're up against, A workforce size might be fungible. You could grow it or shrink it, but 10-year lease agreements are not. So I think we would continue to say drastically, and this is a public policy problem. It is not a problem for individual entrepreneurs. And if we want to have a diverse, vibrant small business economy, we need to provide capital support that's flexible, that allows businesses to retrofit and make their workplaces more safe for employees and for consumers, and to really have a longer term vision for how to help our small business sector through the crisis.
And then what about those businesses that are in states where Republicans have essentially pushed the economy to reopen? I'm thinking of Wisconsin, where the state Supreme Court just overturned Governor Tony Evers's lockdown orders. And by, within hours, there were bars that had opened up and crowds of people rushing in, no practicing of social distancing, no wearing of masks. But I imagine that might have been other businesses who, seeing the science-based data on the dangers of this virus, felt compelled to remain closed. I imagine small business owners are in a tough bind as they see a choice between, in some of these states, a choice between risking their business being the result of virus spreading or risking bankruptcy.
Yes, and I think you're exactly right. So the more pressure that's put on small business owners, particularly by big businesses who are pushing to reopen the economy, and even small businesses who don't see any option but to reopen or go bankrupt. That puts a tremendous amount of pressure on all business owners to open up so that they can maintain their market share, right? And they don't lose out. And what we really believe needs to happen is clear guidance on what safety, clear science-based guidance on what safe reopening looks like.
Right. There's no clear direction.
Need to be able to retrofit to protect people. And I think what makes that possible for businesses is the financial support. So without that support, it's hunger games, right? And so what we need to do from a public policy perspective is provide those resources to businesses so they don't have to make a life or death choice, either save their business or potentially have their business become a vector in their community.
Right. I mean, there's just no federal government clear guideline. There are some state level guidelines. And then, of course, people egging on, lawmakers egging on anti-lockdown protesters. It's just, as you said, Hunger Games perhaps best characterizes it. Amanda, give out a website for Main Street Alliance.
Main Street Alliance is www.mainstreetalliance.org, and we'd love you to come take a look. We have a special page that's dedicated to COVID-19 response.
Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you. You too.
My guest has been Amanda Ballantyne, Executive Director of the Main Street Alliance, a national network of 30,000 small business owners. We've been discussing the federal government's response to supporting small businesses during the pandemic. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.